This is spoken by Nanda Maharaj to Garga Muni, the newly born Krishna and Balaram are in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and Garga Muni has come specifically because of this. He's a great devotee himself, and specifically he acts as the spiritual guide of the Yadus. So when he arrived, Nanda Maharaj was very happy to see Garga Rishi. Garga Rishi was a renunciate, and he was specifically known to be very expert in Jyotish, or astrology. So, on the birth of a child, the parents, one of the first things they want to do is to get his astrological chart made and read, because it is the duty and the natural proclivity of the parents to guide and to maintain and guide the child in a manner that will be most beneficial for his or her successful utilization of the human form of life. So having the astrological reading is very helpful for that. Without that, it's something like going on a journey without a map. If you have a map in the beginning, then you can consider how far to go at one stage, and which kind of transport to use. There's so many, it helps so much, especially when you have to travel over rough terrain. And life in this material world is usually pretty rough. So Nanda Maharaj is very happy to see Garga Rishi. He would have been happy to see him at any time. But he was specifically happy to receive him so that he could get the astrological reading made for these children. Usually the names of the children are not given directly at birth, but the astrological chart is made first. So then, the more than one name may be given. The name, after learning about the expected character, qualities, and deeds of the child, a name may be given in accordance, accordingly. Just like when Lord Chaitanya was born, Nilamba Chakravarti, his maternal grandfather, who was a great astrologer, gave him the name Vishvamba, because he will maintain all the worlds. He saw this quality. So, Garga Muni himself is a renunciate, but still he's moving in human society to, among the householders, to benefit their children and to help them by giving this subtle knowledge, helping them to effect their scheme or their plans for living in the best possible way in this material world. So it's very helpful in human society to have persons who can guide us in this way. By study of Shastra, the highly intelligent people, they can see things that we don't see. For instance, in the modern age, people think that they can indulge in all kinds of sinful activities and there won't be a reaction. But those who see through the eyes of Scripture see the reactions already taking place all around us. So, an animal sees through its nose, finds what's going on through its nose. A king sees through his spies. And a brahmana sees through Shastra. And especially it's mentioned he sees through Jyotish Shastra, through the science of astrology. So this is a necessary science for human society. Although Prabhupada, he sometimes discouraged his devotees from going to astrologers. Not that he was against astrology, but one consideration is, it might be better to have no guidance than to be guided by someone who thinks he can see but can't see properly. Just like we find so many Vedic astrologers in Russia. Means they picked up a few books by people who themselves don't actually know what is astrology and read them, and then they declare themselves astrologers. Or we get great experts on Ayurveda who have become expert by reading the book of some other inexpert people. So all these Vedic sciences require years of study under experts, under gurus. One has to become a disciple. So these sciences are useful, but misapplication of the science is not very useful at best. Quite often people come to me and ask, show me their hand and say, can you tell? Can you read? Their hand, yeah, for reading the palm. So I look at it and say, well, you really have a lot of problems in your life. And they say, yeah, it's true. And you're going to have a lot more problems unless you chant Hare Krishna. If you chant Hare Krishna, then everything will be good. So I'm also an expert palmist and astrologer. Because it's a fact that unless we take to Krishna consciousness, whatever we do, whatever combinations of waltzing through the material energy we may become subject to, it's all miserable. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he was at home and an astrologer came. Brahmin came, traveling Brahmana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked that, well, can you tell me about my previous life? So he gave the date and time of birth, and then the astrologer started to calculate. Nowadays, you just enter the time and date into a computer program and hit a button. But in those days, you had to be a good in very complex mathematics. Until recently, astrology means a lot of mathematics. So the astrologer made his calculations and he started to interpret the chart. And he said, I see that you are the supreme absolute truth. You are residing on the milk ocean, served by Lakshmi, with all the great demigods chanting your glories. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're not a very good astrologer. I happen to know that in my previous life I was a cowherd boy. And due to my pious activities in looking after cows, therefore I got born as a Brahmin. I also know what I was in my past life. Many past lives. Dog, cat, chimpanzee, gorilla, worm in stool, etc., etc. So lucky to be still a dog. I can be a dog rolling in the dust of Prabhupada's lotus footsteps and my life is fully successful. You see the little dogs, the puppies, they follow some little boy. They want to become protected. So if we can be little puppies running after Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, then we're successful in our lives. So Gaga Rishi has come and he's Brahmin, sannyasi, highly learned. And Nanda Maharaj, although very rich, he's a householder and a Vaishya, appears to be very attached. So he welcomed Gaga Rishi. In the previous verse, it stated, Mahad Vichalanam Nrinam Grihinam Dina Chetasam. He said that the great persons, they wander in the world, they were for the benefit of human society. And they visit the homes of the grihastas who are a very narrow-minded, very small-minded and petty outlook. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also, this is mentioned in regard to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahanta swabhave tarite pamor nijja karja nahe tabu jai anyagar. Means that it is the nature of great persons to attempt to deliver the sinful and fallen. And for that purpose, although they have nothing personal to gain from doing so, they visit the homes of such people. So Nanda Maharaj, he is most worshipable. Ahamiha Nanda Vande Yasyalinde Parang Brahma. This Raghupati Upadhyay is a poet much appreciated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that, I worship Nanda Maharaj because in his courtyard the supreme truth is playing. Nanda Maharaj thought of himself as a fallen attached householder. But the most intelligent sannyasis, they renounce the world just to have the opportunity to become a grain of dust in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur has advised us, Krishna shamsar karo charo chari anacha jibe doya name ruchi sarva dharmasha. That to enter into the family of Krishna's family, means Nanda Maharaj's family, give up sinful that is possible by giving up sinful activities. The essence of all dharma is mercy to the jivas and taste for the holy name. So Nanda Maharaj is worshipable by the greatest sannyasis. As the father of Krishna, his position is far more exalted than that of any sannyasi. But because he is the father of Krishna, he thinks of himself as an ordinary person. To be the father of Krishna, he has to think like that. So he thinks of himself as Dina Chetasam. I'm a very petty-minded. That these great sannyasis, they're meditating on the absolute truth and performing austerities. They're not concerned with the petty affairs of this world. And I'm just thinking about my family and my property and my cows. So, well, that's true of most householders. They're involved in thinking about very small and insignificant things. But in the case of Nanda Maharaj, his thinking about his family and property and cows, his family means Yashoda and Krishna and Balaram. His kingdom is the transcendental, worshipable land of Vrindavan. He is Vrajaraj, the king of Vrindavan. And his cows are all perfect sages, more perfect than any sannyasi. Nevertheless, even though Nanda Maharaj, by yoga maya, is thinking of himself as an ordinary householder, this statement is valuable in understanding the material condition. And everyone in this material world is dina chetasam. This is a very fallen and poor outlook. I am nijaf paro veti ganana laghu chetasam. Dina Chetas, Laghu Chetas, petty outlook means thinking in terms of I, me and mine. This is mine, that is someone else's. I'm Russian and we don't like the, who don't we like? The Chinese or the Americans or the non-Russians. Okay. This is called Laghu Cheta. Paltry outlook. Did you say paltry? Yeah. Paltry and paltry is not exactly the same thing, although it's a passable translation. Udara, udara charitanam tu vasudhaiva kutumbakam. One of broad outlook. He sees the whole world, everyone is my family.
He sees the whole world as his family.
Yeah. Parents lament if their child dies. They don't lament if someone else's child dies. They feel special attachment for the child produced from themselves. But one of broad outlook, he sees all living beings as related to me. That, of course, in the modern age, everyone sees everyone else equally. That means no one gives a damn for anyone. But this is not broad-mindedness. This is laghu chetasa, dina chetasa, small-minded. That one should see all equal, feeling for everyone. Once a devotee said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, seeing all these people suffering in the material world, sometimes I feel such compassion for them. Prabhupada said, why only sometimes? In Australia, I believe it was, someone asked Prabhupada, one middle-aged lady had come and asked that, Swamiji, can you pray for me? Prabhupada said, of course, that's what I've come for. I'm always praying for you. I'm only trying to help you. So this is broad-minded intelligence. That is possible to develop when one stops thinking in terms of one's own bodily sense gratification.
To get this bodily sense gratification?
Yeah, when one is no longer thinking in terms of one's own bodily sense gratification, then one can think of the benefit of others. If we're thinking of sense gratification, then we enter competition with other ambitious, or those others with the ambition to enjoy this material world. People trusted Prabhupada because they could understand that he doesn't want to exploit me. He only wants to help me. That's why even people of very rough nature and very dominating nature or very arrogant nature, Prabhupada would just tell them and they would do. One reason that the Krishna Conscious Movement spread all over the world under Srila Prabhupada's guidance was that several of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were very strong-minded people. It might even be said that if Prabhupada hadn't sent them all out, then if they'd all stayed together, they might have all fought together, because many of them were the kind of people who they just couldn't take to be ordered by others. Not exactly the very peaceful sattvic sadhus, some of them. But with a lot of energy and being inspired by Prabhupada, wanting to use that energy to spread the Sankirtan movement. So Prabhupada was expert in engaging people's domineering propensities in spreading Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And that tendency, if not properly used, can be gross selfishness. But if directed into Krishna conscious missionary activities, then it becomes very beneficial for human society. And simultaneously, the preachers and those preached to become benefited and purified. Prabhupada himself was a very domineering person, could be said. Prabhupada told that when his astrological chart was read, the astrologer, who seems to have been a Hindi-speaking rather than Bengali, he said, "Hukam chalega," which means, what he says, others will follow. His order will be followed. So Prabhupada was udar. He was very liberally distributing the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But those in family life, Nanda Maharaj, he's saying, just the very nature of family life makes one concentrate on a few people rather than the benefit of many people. Everyone tends to think in terms of what is beneficial for me. And when that is extended to one's family members, Prabhupada described this as extended selfishness. So we tend to think of our benefit in terms of how I and my family members, we may prosper in this material world. Sometimes it's said that in Orissa, where people are very much attached to Lord Jagannath, Lord Jagannath keeps them poor. Because if they became prosperous, then they'd be less dependent on Jagannath, less Krishna conscious. Well, that's quite possible. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam tayaparhita chetasam vivasayatmaka buddhi samadhana vidhiyate. For those who are attached to material enjoyment and opulence, the fixed intelligence of seeking out the absolute truth, that is not attained. Practically, we see how in modern Russia, especially in Moscow, with the prospects of earning money and enjoying life, which were not there before, how people's attitudes are changing. And even our devotees tend to become affected by that. That due to the passionate atmosphere, it means the mode of passion, that instead of thinking Krishna, 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 they tend to think of money, money, money. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada described that previously in India, people would be satisfied. They get a little food, little cloth, and they're satisfied, and then chant Hare Krishna. Now they've introduced the consumer culture in India. People want always to earn more and more money and buy more and more things, which they can't possibly use, all of them anyway. It used to be in India that you couldn't really, just by seeing, you couldn't tell who's rich and who's poor, because they dressed more or less the same. They didn't show their wealth. That was considered ostentatious. A rich man would wear a kurta and dhoti like anyone. Of course, it'd be nicely ironed, but it'd be the same kurta and dhoti that any other man would be wearing like that. They earned, the rich men, they'd have businesses, earn lots of money, but they'd spend for dharma, that make temples and give to sadhus like this. Invest in new businesses. They'd have big families and they'd maintain lots of servants. But in the modern age, everyone is very interested to show off how rich they are. So devotees have to be careful not to be sucked into this syndrome. Of course, the consumer society is very much like that, that a few people are earning money and most of the people are, a few people are earning lots of money and most of the people are just working just to earn enough money to pay the rent and buy some bread. One thing's for sure, that people have to work very hard. So devotees should try to avoid the syndrome of working so hard that they don't have time for sadhana. What's the use if you're working, but then you forget Krishna? In the modern society, if you don't work and earn lots of money, people think you're crazy. But a devotee not caring what other people think, he should utilize time for cultivating Krishna consciousness. So many wonderful books are being printed in Russian. We're reading from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. With all due respect to Tolstoy and Dostoevsky and Solzhenitsyn and all the great writers and thinkers of Russia, you can throw all their works in the trash can and read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is it? Okay. We'll throw all that in the trash can too. There is no comparison to this literature. If there is any comparison, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So devotees should not be so much concerned, what is the rate of this? But we should think how we can utilize our time for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this festival is meant for hearing and chanting about Krishna. During this festival, we have no other engagement than to hear and chant about Krishna. Some devotees have been fortunate enough to spend time studying Shastra very deeply, and they can share that with you. Therefore, we have these seminars. So please take full advantage of this opportunity and get so much inspired by Krishna consciousness that we go away wanting to maximize our hearing and chanting about Krishna. This festival will be a success if everyone goes away thinking how I have to make more time for hearing and chanting about Krishna. I have to make my life more Krishna conscious. How to be more Krishna conscious. So whether brahmachari or grihastha or whatever, we should not be dina chetasam, but we should be udara charitan. We should be of broad outlook, Krishna conscious. Udara charitanam too. Udara charitra of Krishna conscious householder is not like a materialistic householder. His life is centered on Krishna. So naturally he wants to share this with others. Devotees should feel sorry to see people are living their lives without knowledge of Krishna. So please take advantage of the knowledge in these books and try to spread that knowledge to others. We should see that people are suffering because they don't have knowledge of Krishna and try to distribute that to others. So we're supposed to be leaving fairly soon for going out to chant the holy names again in the marketplace. There'll be book distribution side by side. Generally the book distribution goes better if there's Harinam going on simultaneously. So, not just today, but as much as possible, try to go out with other devotees to spread the holy names in the towns and villages of this large country. Some of the brahmacharis are engaged full-time in distributing books. Every month I get a report from Vladimir. Yeah, the city. That Chaitanya Singh has distributed, it's always 310, 320, like this, very steady, every month, just over 300 books for the last few years. So, brahmacharis are able to do full-time, but if the grihasthas can also do sometimes, that will also help to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. There's that famous film clip of Prabhupada saying that we try to distribute these books and the Krishna conscious movement will spread automatically. So if grihasthas, they read these books and distribute these books, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased and the Krishna conscious movement will spread automatically. These festivals also give me an opportunity to distribute books on the principle, charity begins at home. So the verse we're reading from today is from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. We have copies here in Russian. And those of you who don't have it yet can get from Balarama Acharya Prabhu, who's brought some from Moscow. There's also